to the hill.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's ever coming back or what the plan is, but I don't know. Carol, you might have
hard to say because we're still, I mean, it's still like we're still at the tail end of the pandemic rather than really. You know, it's not really truly post-pandemic, I don't feel yet, so, because people are still figuring out, you know, what we should do in person, what we should do virtually, and kind of feeling their way around about how they should be doing stuff the same or differently than they did before, so it might take a little time for that to come back, but I certainly hope the Day on the Hill makes a comeback, because it's really, it's a great event.
I know, I agree.
Any other questions for Mary? Okay, hearing none. I think I saw that Steve Thal had joined the group. Steven, are you here? I saw your phone number. Perhaps I was hallucinating. Who knows? That can happen. Okay, hearing nothing further for Mary.
I have a couple of questions.
Hey, Eileen, there you are. Go ahead.
Of course. Yeah, right. Very quickly, what is the BESBY website?
Great question, so and I should know this, but I don't. I'm sorry.
It's complicated because the state is encouraging a particular model for finding stuff on the interwebs. If you go to ct.gov, and just type in BESBY, that's your best route to the to our internet site, as far as I can tell, because that's usually what I do. But the state wants is using a model of finding state agencies just based on the questions that you have.
All right, I'm gonna try it, but that the other question is. Mary, are there any apprenticeship programs that our clients are involved in?
We don't have any clients involved in apprenticeship programs currently, but there are plenty in the state, and there's a lot of trainings and different things, but we have not had a big interest in apprenticeships, unfortunately.
Okay.
So, I mean, I shouldn't say unfortunately, it's just their jobs that people have not gone to, but they're available if individuals do want to go train for one. And just to add to the website, Eileen, if you go to Google and type in BESBY Connecticut, it will come up. That's how I always do it.
I just want to say that's going to work for me. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, just the four letters, BESBY and then Connecticut, and then the Bureau of Education Services of Hawaii will come up. And you click on that, it'll bring us to our website.
I'll see. Okay.
I Google everything.
Well, so do I. Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions for Mary? All right. Hearing none, then let's go to the budget update. Carol, you have the floor.
All right. There we go. Okay. I'm going to do my best to make this as least complicated as possible, because it can get quite confusing. So I'm first going to talk about the federal fiscal year 2022 VR budget. And so this was what ended technically September 30th of this year. We had a one-year carryover period, which is what makes this really confusing, because we're technically in federal fiscal year 24, so 23, anyway. So we are in the liquidation period for this particular our federal report. So we have until the end of January to get all of our authorizations and things liquidated from those funds so we can get that final report submitted. So when I did this report, it's been a little, few weeks ago now, our remaining balance in that grant was $522,421.31. The amount that's still authorized and needs to be liquidated is $14,079.37. So the estimated total that we will return to the federal government is $508,341.91. And so just a side note for this report, this was prior to VR being fully staffed. And so some of that money that didn't get spent will be spent on staff salaries and stuff. So we should be hopefully not returning any for federal fiscal year 23, but we shouldn't be returning this much. So continuing in that same federal fiscal year 22, supported employment, there's two parts. Part A, which is adults, which who are 25 and older, and then Part B, which is the youth. This grant is extremely difficult to spend because you have to spend proportionately, and you have to spend youth first. So, for example, you have to spend $10,000 in youth or whatever, or $2,000 before you can spend any in the adults. And so the thing that happened, I forget when it happened, earlier this year, I think, was that the state of Connecticut changed the age to where students can stay in school through the end of the school year of their 22nd birthday. So then that only allows our program 2 years or less to find them permanent employment. And these funds, support employment funds, cannot be used unless the person has obtained permanent employment. So no skills training, no job experiences, none of that. These funds can't be used. So we only had one, maybe two clients that were even age-wise eligible. So unfortunately, we did not spend any of the funds, and we are returning all of it. So it's a total of $45,000. I almost said 43. $45,000. It spent split 22.5 each. All right. So then I'm going to move to federal fiscal year 2023 for vocational rehab. And so our original grant was $3,584,073. And then we did have a maintenance of effort penalty, and the maintenance of effort is based upon what you spent on match 2 years ago, so 2 years prior. And so we were at that point in the VR program that we were spending so much in match, our maintenance of effort got so high, it wasn't a maintainable or manageable amount anymore, so it wasn't met. And so this allowed us to kind of reset our maintenance of effort level to make it a more sustainable amount. Because during COVID, lots of agencies had money and, you know, carried over money, and it just made things just to a point that couldn't be maintained for a long period of time. So our maintenance of effort penalty was $444,034. And so with that, you know, we subtract that out. So that left $3,140,039 for our base grant for federal fiscal year 23. We did seek reallotment, and reallotment funds are funds that agencies return that they didn't spend, but we can only request funds that we have non-federal dollars to match. And so there are specific requirements on what we can use as match. So we were able to request $750,000, because that's something that we could match, and we were awarded that. So that went into our total grant allotment, which made it $3,890,039, which was, roughly 300 and some thousand higher than our original base grant would have been. So we essentially, the thought was, request that, we got our the maintenance effort penalty back, a little extra, which is good. So so for pre-employment transition services, the PREETS of that grant, the PREETS reserve amount is $583,505.85. And so the amount remaining we have from that, from client services, is $554,418.89. and I don't necessarily expect everyone to remember all of this. It's a lot. So for supported employment for federal fiscal year 23, we have spent some adult funds of the balance. So we have to spend the youth portion to match that same amount. Otherwise, we'll have to, you know, use VR funds for this. But we had $2,672 remaining for the adults, and then $22,156.20 for youth. So we have until September 30 next year to spend those funds. So BEP program, the balance is roughly, when I looked, this could very well be different now, is $2,996,384.19. And Tyrell can correct me if that number is much lower now. So it all depends on when invoices and things get paid.
Yeah.
We go to our independent living, older blind funds for federal fiscal year 23. And this is adults age 55 and older. So our beginning balance, which is our base grant, is $361,314. And because of program income, which is money we get reimbursed from Social Security when our VR program does awesome work and gets clients those jobs and they go off benefits, we can request reimbursement. So we got a whole lot of money back from that this year. I'm going to say roughly $250,000. I don't have that dollar amount in front of me. I put that in the older blind program fund. So for federal fiscal year 23, our amount remaining is $310,661.16. So our independent living program, this is a fiscal year, and we're in state fiscal year 2024. This is clients, we use it for under age 55. So we have, the beginning balance was $22,424, and the remaining balance is $11,958.23. And we don't just get a lump sum, we get an allotment quarterly. So, and then for children's services for state fiscal year 24, our beginning balance was $2,413,704, and our remaining balance is $632,003.98. So that was my attempt at hopefully not making the budget overly complicated. Does anyone have any questions?
So, Carol, when you talk about the state match on reallotment, it's not 100% match, is it? Does the state have to put up a proportion of it, or is it actually 100%?
No, it's not 100% match. So for VR, our match is 21.3%.
Okay.
For VR, for older blind and supported employment, those are both a 10% match.
Okay. All right, good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for Carol with regard to the budget? Hearing none, let's move on to the next item then, which is the legislative update. Jen, you have the floor.
I think Jen had to leave, so she is not currently present.
Okay, so do you have anything you can offer us on that topic, Carol?
You know, I don't. I should have asked her for an update, but did not. I'm sorry.
Okay, no worries. We will we'll save it to the next time then. So it looks like we are at the points to the good and welfare portion of the agenda, and I have an announcement to make, and the reason I saved it for this point of the agenda is because if I announced it earlier, it would certainly have changed the tenor of the agenda, but I just want to let everybody know that Steve Fall and I are both moving on from the BSB Advisory Board. I have just been appointed to the Connecticut Public Transportation Council. We held what was my first meeting last night. It was a 3-hour meeting, and it was quite excellent. The council has a lot of initiatives underway. It is working very closely with the Connecticut Department of Transportation and federal officials on some public transit initiatives and some modernization efforts. And I was very pleased to see the level of activism that there is on the board. I think our chairman is excellent. We met virtually last night because the chairman has the coronavirus, and happily he was able to participate. But our meetings will include places around the state. We'll be going to Hartford in February to visit our state legislators, actually specifically the Transportation Committee. So I expect that that's going to be a very good meeting, and I expect we're going to be doing some very good and consequential work. As a result, between that and the Bike and Ped Advisory Board, my plate is quite full, and I had to make a decision about which way to go. And having been here for 20 years as chairman, I think that is more than enough time. I don't think anybody should be chairing any boards or commissions for that long. I prefer to have turnover because we need, you know, there's generational turnover, and we need that to happen on our boards and commissions as well. So having said that, what I would like to do is call a special meeting, very likely toward the end of January. I have some ideas about how we should proceed going forward. I will say that I have noticed that not only do we have 3 vacancies, but we have attendance at board meetings has tended toward being a little more spotty the last couple of years or so. We have a core of people who are always here. But as you saw today, we don't have a quorum, which means we can't conduct business other than to keep track of the activities that BSBY is reporting for us. We couldn't, for example, move on the minutes today because we don't have a quorum. So that is, I find that troubling, and I've seen that going on. So I'm going to have some suggestions about what we should do going forward at next month's meeting. So stay tuned. We will keep you informed as to when the meeting will be scheduled, and I will send my proposals out to you in advance. So that way, everybody will have an opportunity to read this. I recognize that this is a bombshell announcement, and it's going to take some time to process. So with that, I will leave the leave to anyone else who wants to express points to the good and welfare.
It's Mary. I have a question.
Yes, it's Eileen, of course.
Go ahead, Mary. I have a question about the status of all of us, terms. Where are we in our terms? When are they up? Because it sounds like you are going to be in need of regrouping, and we, along with you, are going to have to plan on transitions, whatever. So can you, if you don't have that information right now at your fingertips, can we arrange to have that at the special meeting?
Carol, do you think we can put that together? Because the governor, I'll put it this way, the governor has appointed 6 slots on the advisory board. And then there are, let's see, the other 6 slots are Senate President, Senate Majority Leader, Senate Minority Leader, Speaker of the House, House Majority Leader, and House Minority Leader. So I don't know who has which appointment. I know I was appointed by the Gov, and my last reappointment expired in 2013. And the way it works is that you serve until your successor is seated. So there's a question as to the level of interest from the governor's office in terms of keeping the advisory board up to its numbers. Also, state legislators are not, they're not necessarily stepping up. I mean, legislators, first of all, there are a ton of state boards and commissions. There's somewhere around 200 of them. So it's very hard for legislators to keep track of which boards or commission they have authority to appoint.
Well,
so if anybody's interested in being reappointed, you can, you know, get in touch with your state rep or any of those legislators I've mentioned. It's this arrangement is codified in state statute. So if you want to look up the state statute, I don't.
Yes, we know this. We all have a letter from the last time we were appointed, and whether it came from House, Senate, or Governor, all of us, we have to put a fight in regions. I understand that. I know Brian used to review that with us every year because it was such a transient and varied issue. I think since you're going to have some major replanning to do, I think it would be a help to everyone here if we had definite dates. Have we served two consecutive terms? Does anybody want to stay beyond that? Do we have? How are we recruiting new blood? How are we enforcing the old blood being present? Because in my mind, if people sign up to serve on a board or commission, if after time they're not serving as they were as they agreed to, then some house cleaning with some dignity and a little bit of graciousness, I think is in order. Either, you know, if people don't want to serve, that's fine, but that they have to make a decision then. Either they commit to attending meetings or they resign to make room for someone else who will be here so to allow us to have a quorum, because we can't do business if we don't have a quorum.
Well, I suggest that it's more about just attending meetings, because it's not that hard to fill a seat or to stand or sit at your desk at home and, you know, listen to people and have a few words to say. For an advisory board to be functional and to actually provide advice, it has to be more active. People have to decide. We don't have a committee structure. It's all ad hoc. But we can certainly form committees. We can certainly decide what projects to take on. And, you know, I haven't seen anything of that happening other than the Blind Americans Equality Day. So, you know, we have to do some soul searching here as to what we want to do going forward, because we need to do more than just sit and listen to presentations from BSBE staff. BSBE staff are already, you know, they're overloaded with stuff that they have to do, reports that they have to do. They have to report to us. They report to the state rehab council. They have to serve their clients. They have a ton of responsibilities. So, I mean, we have to think about our future.
So my question is, this is Eileen.
Yeah.
Are there statutes now in place that supersede what you mentioned in terms of appointments? Have there been statutes that override that? Are those statutes that you cited still in effect? That's my first question.
Yep.
Then, let's see. One of the problems I think today is I'm wondering if people had trouble getting in. I had a problem getting in. The meeting ID that I tried to use did not work, and the meeting ID that I finally was able to use didn't work the first time. So I'm not saying that's the full cause, but I think there could be technological difficulties, because I'm sure that Steve intended to be here today. We just talked yesterday. I'm sure he was trying to get in. So I'm just using him as an example. That's one point, or second point, I guess. The third point is definitely we need to have a special meeting. When information goes out, now I think I saw probably, and this is not criticism, this is just an observation, this information about this board meeting came out several times. I couldn't tell if it was a repeat of the same stuff I'd already seen, or whether things had been revised, such as I realized today the agenda was revised. So I think when information comes out, it needs to be made very clear that these are updates or revisions, not just repeating the same things that we had already seen. Because I got very confused by that. And frankly, I didn't have the time to go through and say, oh, wait a minute, was the agenda changed? Were minutes changed? What exactly happened for the material that kept coming out to us? Again, it's not a criticism, it's just in the name of efficiency. And then finally, Al, I want to really thank you for all of your hard work. And I appreciate it is necessary for you to make changes to how you're going to conduct your life. And I think all of us here have to really think hard about this. And also, congratulations to Carol on surviving your first year and doing it so well. Because of what I'm going through with the Lions, I truly, truly appreciate or began to appreciate all that's involved. So I really commend you for how you successfully navigated all of this. And I'm through talking now.
Thank you, Eileen. Any other points to the good and welfare? I will point out, though, Eileen, that the stuff you're talking about is not really, that's not fundamental. That is technical stuff, and every board or commission goes through that. What I usually do is the last item I receive, say it's an agenda or the last minutes of the last meeting or whatever, that's the one I pay attention to. I throw out everything else before that, because otherwise it just becomes overwhelming and it's very easy to get confused. And by the way, the state statute is section 10-293, last revised in 2020.
Al, they were renumbered. I thought they all, like, Vesby,
well,
they all started
okay,
with
so
the 17.
Well, okay, so here's what happens with citations, legislative citations. 10-293 is the section. That is not the same thing as the chapter. The chapter number is different. I don't know who came up with this numbering convention, but colloquially, when people refer to statutes, it's section X-dash whatever, and chapter numbers are different. You can see that when you look up the statutes. It'll tell you what chapter it is, for example. But the usual citation that people use when you're looking for a statute is what I gave you for Title 10-293. See, it's Chapter 174, and the title it's Title 10. And then the section is 293.
Al, this is Carol. Sure. I will do my best to get the appointment dates from the governor's office.
Okay.
I have a list of the members, but I do not know their appointment dates and who appointed them. I don't have a list of that,
yeah.
So I will try to
okay.
get it. And then for the special meeting, I will have Jen Proto attend and make sure she has all of those state statutes and citations that are relevant ready for everyone, and I'll make sure we can get those emailed out in advance.
That sounds excellent. I expect that the meeting will be called sometime late in January, so about 6 weeks from now, to give people time to gather their thoughts and be prepared for a discussion. That is going to be the only item on the agenda. Actually, it'll be one of two items on the agenda, because the other item on the agenda is going to be the minutes from 21 September and from today's meeting, in the hopes that we have a quorum.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, I'm the dinosaur, and I know I was appointed. I can't even remember when my actual appointment was made, and it was also through the governor. So, I mean, for me personally, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm way overdue in terms of how many years I served. So.
Yep, as am I. You and I are in the same place, Eileen.
But I think I've been on even longer.
Yes. You were here when I got here. So
yeah, exactly.